got saved, I have been watching for the Lord to come back. I got saved in 1967, and that was a time of great prophetic excitement. Israel had been back in the land, and they recaptured in 67 the old city of Jerusalem that set the way and prepared the way for the temple to be rebuilt on the Temple Mount, which is a prophecy required before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are prophecies before his coming. One of the great, I believe, enemies to watching for Jesus to come back is the teaching that the coming of Christ is an any moment signless event. Balderdash. It is not. And that goes against watching. I watch because I'm excited about the Lord to come back. I want the Lord to come back. And I also want to get people saved before he comes back. And so I'm stirred up by prophecy to do that as well. And you should be too. And since the Lord is coming back, and we're going to be purified when we see him, the Bible says, we ought to seek to live pure in light of his coming and get rid of bad attitudes and sins in our life. And so these things are important, and I've always asked the Lord for understanding of the, just like Ryan asked for wisdom and discernment, I've asked the Lord for understanding of the second coming and to fine-tune my watching for Christ. And one of the things I prayed for is, Lord, give me an understanding, not only the book of Revelation, which he has marvelously done, but give me an understanding of the events that will precede the last 7 years that are going to be very eventful prophetic years. In other words, there are prophecies that precede those 7 years, and one of those prophecies is what we've been preaching on ever since this Hamas attack, and that is the great war in Psalm 83, prophesied in Psalm 83, and in other places, I believe. And then we want to preach on the Ezekiel 38 and 39 great war that's coming up, which I believe both of these will be in order and precede the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years. And I said, since this began, this attack from Hamas on Israel, and Israel declared war for the first time. And one of the men tell me, in how many years? Raise your hand if you know. Jesse? And the first time in 50 years that Israel has declared war. And I have watched every war except the very first one because I wasn't born. Every war in the Middle East leading up to this war that's coming, and this may be it. Not saying 100%, but it may be it. And I'm saying to you that I've been watching. You say, well, Pastor, why are you watching? Because of the second coming of Jesus. We're just that much closer. And every event like this is like a birth pang that brings forth a delivery. It's a birth pang of sort that moves things forward. And so these things are very important. And I want to say that every one of these things, you know, Israel was prophesied to be brought back to their land. And ever since AD 70, every generation, if they believe the Bible and they believe the prophecy of the Bible, they were looking for Israel in their lifetime to be brought back to their land, but it didn't happen. For nearly 2,000 years, it didn't happen. And then in almost my lifetime, it happened. I was born in 1950. 1948, it happened that Israel was declared on May 14 a nation among the nations of the earth, fulfilling numerous Bible prophecies, including Ezekiel 36 and 37, that God would bring them back in unbelief and restore them to their language as a nation. I mean, amazing. That is the super sign. I can remember my great-grandmother talking about it in the 1950s as she was watching TV, black and white, and seeing what was going on between Israel and Egypt in a war back then, 1956. And she was saying, oh, this is the last days. These are the last days. She knew it. She knew it. And I wasn't even saved then. But then, you know, I got saved in June 16, 1967. The Six-Day War happened in June 7th of 1967. I mean, I'm just saying, all of these wars, 1948 against the Arabs, 1967, and the Yom Kippur War of 1973, what do they all have in common? They all have this in common, that is, Israel won.
Right.
Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, God wants all people to get saved, but he's got a special plan for the nation of Israel. Don't ever forget it.
Right.
And if you bless the Israel, God will bless you. You curse Israel, God will curse your hide. And so I'm just saying, my friends, that we need to get in with God and in with his plan and in what he's doing. Jesus himself said salvation is of the Jews.
Right.
He told the Samaritan woman. He led her to the Lord, but he said salvation is of the Jew. In other words, you better accept the Jewish Messiah if you want to get saved.
Right.
And I'm just saying to you that this war, if this Psalm 83 war, and let's say this turns into that, then this war is going to end like all the others, 48, 67, 73, with Israel what? Winning. In fact, Israel will not be kicked out of their land ever again. Now, there will be under the beast and the Antichrist a great flight to hide out. But a lot of them will hide not only in Jordan, but they'll be hiding in Judea and Israel will not be removed as a nation again. Not only that, but if this is the Psalm 83 war, it will end differently, a little bit different, a lot different than in 48 and 67 and in 73. Because with those wars, if you look at the boundaries and the borders of Israel today, it is no bigger than the state of New Jersey. That's it. But that's not what God promised Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15 and 17, God gave that nation a land grant. And he said that from east to west or west to east, I'll go west to east, it will go all the way from the river of Egypt in the Sinai all the way to present day Iraq, where you can see is the Euphrates River. That's how big it is. But now it only holds a little area. And there it is, Genesis 15. Have I given you the land from the river of Egypt to the great Euphrates? Genesis 15, 18, there it is. Do they have that land right now? No, they don't. But after the Psalm 83 war, they will. And if this is it, you're going to see it. You will see it if this is it. I've seen fulfillments. This will be a big one. Huge if this is it. You say, does that excite you? Yes, it does. I don't like to see people get killed. I don't like to see people get hurt. I pray for them. But I do know that Israel getting the promised land will be the best thing for the Middle East. And it's God's plan. It's God's plan. Now, let me just say this, that every time Israel won a war, like take Joshua, When he won the wars that he fought, did Israel annex land? Oh, certainly they annexed land. They took over the land from the Canaanites under Joshua. How about David and Solomon? Solomon inherited it from David. David was a man of war. He fought many battles. He took the land all the way from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates. He annexed all that land and then gave it to Solomon. And that's a picture of the millennial kingdom when the Abrahamic covenant will be given by Christ to the Jews in full and forever and never to be taken away. But I'm just saying, Israel in 1967, when they won the Six-Day War, they annexed the land of the Sinai. They annexed the Golan Heights. They annexed the old city of Jerusalem. I'm saying they did it. But this war, Psalm 83, they're going to annex more land than ever. It is going to change the map of the Middle East. Now, let me just say this. These people from Gaza that attacked on October 8th, Eastern Time, 1:55 a.m. in our time, when they did that, they were hoping to change the map of the Middle East. One of the men tell me, how were the people of Gaza hoping to change the map when they attacked here just a few days ago? How were they hoping to change the map? Luke?
To completely get rid of Israel.
Yeah, they want to change the map so there's no Israel on it. It's going to say Palestine. And you know what Palestine is. Palestine was named by the Roman emperor who did not like the Jews and wanted to turn Jerusalem into a potty and get rid of it entirely after the Bar Kokhba rebellion in AD 110. And this Hadrian, this Roman emperor, he said, what's the worst enemy of the Jews? They said the Philistines. And that in the Latin language of Rome was Palestina. And he said, okay, we're going to call Israel Palestina. But to gloat on the Philistines. And that's the name. And the English took it up after the Ottoman Empire was defeated from 1517 to 1917 when the Turks were beat in World War I. It became Palestina again. Palestine. As the British came out of that Roman Empire, they had that same mentality. Let me say to you tonight, it is not Palestine. It is Israel. And you will see not the Palestinians' desire fulfilled. You will see God's desire fulfilled at the conclusion of Psalm 83. And that will be the extension of these boundaries and these borders and the annexation. And it will do what Netanyahu said. It will change the map of Israel. Now, we have been preaching on what does the attack from Gaza mean to you? And I wanted to get right into this. And I'm noticing on the news right now, they're waiting to attack Gaza. They haven't done it yet with the land troops. They're attacking by air and by shelling, but not by really a full out land takeover and invasion of Gaza. But it's going to come. It's going to come. I don't like it when Israel waits for Biden to come. They don't have to wait for Biden. They don't have to get permission from Biden. Mr. Netanyahu, if you hear my voice, you don't need permission from Biden. You have permission from Almighty God to defend Israel against its enemies. And you have the prophecies of the Word of God. And so all I'm saying is I'm praying for Mr. Netanyahu and I'm praying for Jewish people to, through this, accept their Messiah. And I was so encouraged talking to Lisa today when she said that she took the message from Sunday night. She listened to it and she brought it to Israel, to her relatives. And they're listening to our message here. That's God. And that's what we're praying for. And so we preach, first of all, what does the attack from Gaza mean to you? It means that God calls out the attacker's motives. We already preached on that. What's their motive? It's to drive them into the sea and take over their houses and their land. The motive of the Ezekiel 37, 38 and 39 war is not that. What is it, Brother Bob?
Spoils,
riches, money. Why? Because after this war, Israel will win and they will become one of the richest nations on the face of the earth. And that will encourage jealousy and envy. By the way, when you get blessed, people envy you, right? And secondly, we said the attack not only means that God calls out their motives, which is to drive them out of the land into the sea and take over the land, but the second thing it means is that God calls out the names of the people that do this. And we've been looking at the names of the people involved. The people of Gaza that attacked were the ancient land of the Philistines, and it's mentioned in Psalm 83. The people in Lebanon that you're hearing right now is the nation of Lebanon. And the nation of Lebanon has allowed Iran to get in there with Hezbollah. And that's going to be part of this. You hear about the Sinai in Psalm 83. That's the people of the Sinai Peninsula that Israel won in 67. Then they gave it back in stages. They shouldn't have, but they did, to Egypt. Because Egypt's going to be in it again. The Hagarenes are going to attack them. And the Amalekites were there in the Sinai. So we know about that as well. And then we talked about the nation of Jordan. The sons of Lot. And we talked about northern Jordan. Ammon. And then Moab, central Jordan. And southern Jordan is Edom. That's all Jordan. And then we talked about they'll be helped out by Asher. Who's Asher? That's Syria and northern Iraq. They're all going to come into the war. But how about the real beginning of the whole thing? Ishmael's mockery of Isaac. And it will be the Ishmaelites. Well, who are the Ishmaelites? The Saudis. By the way, the Saudis were used by the globalists to spur on 9/11. The Saudis. They knew the Saudis wanted to attack us, and they worked with them. People in our own country working with the enemies of Israel. And you know, Ryan mentioned praying for discernment. If you listen to the preaching of the man of God, the word of God, you'll get some discernment. You need it. And there are people all the time that try to get me to trim the message. Do not preach. I don't want to trim anything off of it. And so I want to say to you tonight that this war, this if this is it, if this is the big one, this is what you're going to see. All of these people are going to be drawn into this. And for years they told Bill Salas, who is so insightful on this, they told Bill Salas, oh, that can't be. All these nations are now making peace with Israel. You know, the PLO is doing it. The Egyptians are doing it. The Syrians have done it. You know, all these nations. And Bill Salas said, hey, they're very fragile. That peace could be interrupted like that. And that's exactly what could be happening right now. It's fragile. And if this is Psalm 83, they will turn on Israel. And they will be stirred up by the Palestinians. The Palestinians are the tents of Edom in Psalm 83. We called out their names and we talked about the tents of Edom. And what are they? The Palestinian, quote unquote, refugees. And they are in Jordan. They are in south of Israel. They are now in the Hamas area as well. And they're trying to get down to Egypt, you know, to get out. And people say, well, all of those Palestinians, they're good people, you know. No, they're cheering this on too. There are some people that are innocent, but a lot of them are cheering this on. You say, how do you know? Why does God mention the tents of Edom? The refugees. Remember when the Jews said, crucify Jesus? His blood be upon us and this people? Did those people bring havoc upon their generation? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Watch out what you do as a parent. Watch out what you do as a relative in Christ, because your effect can be really bad on other people. And as Ryan said, we need discernment to choose the best, and to people that may be good, but you choose the best. And watch out for the bad. Amen. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We need discernment. And a pastor, you can't be a pastor if you don't have wisdom as a serpent. You have to be crafty. God says he's crafty with the crafty. By the way, this whole thing is crafty. This whole thing is spurred on by what country? One of the men tell me, what country's behind Hezbollah? What country's behind Hamas? And all the rockets that are there and building up, and touch this off in order to get the Sunni Arabs against the Shiites. Brother Steve, Iran. And God's going to deal with Iran. If this is Psalm 83, there's another war that kind of touches on this with Iran, and that's found in what chapter? One of the men tell me. Yep.
Jeremiah 49,
verses 34 through the end. And we haven't preached on that yet recently, but we will, because that's coming. Iran is behind this. And by the way, Biden is following Obama, who's following the globalists. He's a puppet too. And basically, they're giving Iran a slap on the wrist to make it look good now. And they're playing both sides, these guys. They benefit financially from this war, and that's what they're hoping to do. But God's got a plan, amen? And God's plan is going to prevail, and so that's what we're looking at here tonight. And so it means the attack from Gaza means God calls out their motives, he calls out their names, and tonight it means that God calls out the victors of this war. And I want to start this tonight at least, and that's in Psalm 83, verses 9 through 18. He calls out the victors of this war. Now listen, many say, well, Psalm 83 is part of Ezekiel 38 and 39. But let me tell you something. When God gives victory to Israel, and he will, if this is Psalm 83, he'll give victory to Israel, it is different than Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But let me just say ahead of that, one of the big differences is that with Ezekiel 38 and 39, when God gives victory, it's going to be supernatural. It's not going to be the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. They will be overwhelmed with Ezekiel 38 and 39. It will be God will send an earthquake. And when he sends that earthquake, people are going to freak out from all the different nations that are in the armies against Israel and have overwhelmed the mountains of Israel. And they're going to freak out and panic because of the earthquake. God's going to just shake it up. And then God's going to send missiles from heaven, his own missiles, fire from heaven. And it's going to freak them out. What's going to happen? They're going to fight each other. People from Russia, Turkey, they're going to fight each other. All of the former Soviet Union, all of the stands, what they call the Central Asian republics, they're going to fight each other. And that's how they're going to be defeated. No, but this is not a defeat in Psalm 83 by God's supernatural earthquake and fire from heaven. No, this is these people being defeated like they were in 48, like they were in 67, like they were in 73. Who defeated them? The army of Israel. And it's amazing to me as we look at that. And so let me just say this. When we look at Psalm 83, 9 through 18, we see it's going to be just like in 67, 73, 48, and it's going to be, according to Psalm 83, just like with Jabin when he was defeated by Deborah and by Barak. And it's going to be just like when Gideon defeated the Midianites. It's going to be similar. And how was that done? By Israeli defense forces under Deborah and under Barak and under Gideon, you see. And so you need to keep that in mind. That is a big difference between Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's a next prophecy. Psalm 83 is a now prophecy. Jeremiah 49 is a now prophecy. It could happen now. But not Ezekiel 38 and 39, because the conditions are not in place that are in the Ezekiel 38 and 39. They're not in place now. You say, what are you talking about? When Ezekiel 38 and 39 takes place, what is a big difference in the condition of Israel as opposed to now? Probably one of the number one biggest difference. Can any one of the men tell me that? Kyle. Okay, yeah, that's a big one. Yes, you got it. That's a big one. In Psalm 83, they haven't fully inherited the promised land because they have all these Arab enemies all around them. So obviously they haven't inherited their land yet. But there's another thing. Bobby?
Ezekiel 38 and 39, they are in the land of one-walled villages and they dwell safely.
That's what I was looking for. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're not going to have any walls up. Well, they've got walls all over right now. By the way, we need walls. Amen. Biden just really messed us up. He built this little screwy thing to make it look like he's built a wall. Don't let him fool you, these liars and deceivers. That's why all these people are pouring over. They didn't do that under Trump. And who do you think is pouring over? A lot of Palestinians. There are millions here. I said there are millions here. And the globalists want that. They want to stir up trouble. They want nation against nation. They want people to fight each other. They try to stir up all this stuff. Black, white, now Palestinian and Jew. They stir it all up because they want to fight. And then they take over and benefit from it. They get more power. They get more money. Get a clue what they're doing. And vote Trump back in. By such an overwhelming majority that they can't steal it. I mean, get a clue, people. They stole it from Bernie, the Democrat. They stole it from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You don't think they stole it from Trump? They're a bunch of crooks. That's why I call them the Demon Rat Party. And I know there are a lot of bad Republicans, but at least there's hope there. There's something. But I'm just saying to you that Ezekiel 38 and 39, that's a next prophecy. That's a different war than Psalm 83. Psalm 83 is now. It could happen right now. I'm not saying this is it, but I believe it is, very possibly. I'll know soon. I'm watching. You can watch with me. And I'm watching for Jesus to come back, because that brings us one step closer to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. So it means this attack from Gaza means that God calls out the victors of the Psalm 83 war. When I went to the Michigan game, they sang a song, Hail to the Victors, da da da. You know, Hail to the Victors, right, Steve? Steve knows it by heart. He can sing it. But Michigan could lose. They could be whopped by Penn State. They could be whopped by Michigan State, right? I don't believe the polls. I don't believe the polls. The last poll is the one with who wins. But I'm just saying, thank God Israel's not Michigan. Israel is God's chosen people. They are going to win. They're going to win. And there is absolutely no doubt about it that they're going to win, and they're
going to take over this territory, and it's not going to be like Ezekiel 38 and 39, supernatural. It's going to be God helping Israel. By the way, in 1967, when they won that six-day war, I heard an evangelist speaking in church, and he had been to Israel, and he was telling of miracles on the battlefield. God's earthly peoples, they see miracles, a lot of them. And during this war, there were angels, there were huge angels that were positioned on the battlefield. And the Arabs saw them and they were like, ah! Lot of miracles to protect Israel. And you'll see it again in this Psalm 83 war. There'll be miracles. God's earthly people. And so they're gonna win, but it's going to be God assisting the army to win, like he did with Barak and what like he did with Deborah. And by the way, when I think about that, I think about verses 9 and 10. Look at Psalm 83, 9 and 10. Let's get into the actual text here. It says, "Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth." Now, listen to me here. He's talking about a historical war where the Canaanites had dominated the Israelites, even though they were in the promised land. It was their land. They should have driven the Canaanites out. But due to their sin, the Canaanites were dominating over them. You know how for how long they did that? For 20 years they had them under domination. And there was a prophetess by the name of Deborah, and she became a leader. By the way, during days of apostasy, that's when women take leadership. That's why you have women pastors in churches and all that. It's because we've apostatized away from the Word of God and from the God of the Word. But at any rate, Deborah, she told Barak, she said, "Look, you just go and do this." And he said, "No, I got to have a woman with me. I got to have you helping me." She said, "Okay, I'll get part of the credit." She said, "You ought to man up, guy, and just go do it." But he didn't do it. Barak. But you know, it's very interesting. Right now in Israel, do you know that women have to fight? And they have to fight. And women, as my friend Lisa said, you know, she's got her cousins. They're ladies with their mothers, and they have to go take the gun and go fight. You say, why do they do that? Well, when you've been in Hitler's ovens and you're a woman, you realize it's like the women that fought the cowboys and Indians, you know, when the Indians would attack and take the women and take the children and rape the women. And they put the guns out and they're shooting them. You know, these old settler wives, they be shooting those guys. They learn to fight. And so these people, they learn to fight. I talked to Brother Andy, and Brother Andy was telling me just recently about his granddaughter. I said, "We're praying, you know, Andy." And he said, "Yeah, my granddaughter's a sergeant over there now, and they're fighting, you know." But he was giving her scripture, trying to encourage his granddaughter, you know. I said, "Praise the Lord, you know." But they fight. And you know what? In the case of Jabin, he was a Canaanite king. Sisera was his general. You remember that story in Judges? In the book of Judges, this is all detailed for us. And remember that Sisera was running because the IDF had defeated him under Barak. And he's running away, and he comes to the Kenites. And there's a lady there, and she says, "Come on in, I'm going to help you out." And he was tired, and she gave him some milk to drink and put a blanket over him, and he laid down in the tent to rest. And he said, "Now don't tell anybody if the Israelites come to get me." And he said, "I've been running from them. Don't tell them. Just hide me here because you guys are friends with us." And she said, "Hey, I'll take care of you. Everything will be fine. I'll take care of you." And he's sleeping. Does anybody know what happened to him, Luke? What happened to him? Yeah, she took a tent stake and put it right in his temple while he's sleeping. And then she took the hammer, the big mallet, and she went, boom! And it went right through his head and spiked him to the ground. He was the general, defeated by a woman. And that's what's happening right now with the idea. Women are in this thing. They're fighting for their lives, for their existential lives. And so we see that. And the thing I want to bring out to you right now is that after these Canaanites had 20 years controlled Israel, and God gave the victory through people like Barak and Deborah and Jael, the woman, they never dominated Israel again, the Canaanites there. Never did it again after that. Interesting. How does that fit here? Once these Arabs are defeated, they'll never defeat Israel again. In fact, Israel will possess their land. They'll never have the problem of 48, 67, 73. Again, it'll be over. And by the way, use another example. I'll end with this because we're out of time. Look at the other example in Psalm 83. And look with me at verse number, look with me at verse number 11. It said, make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna. You say, well, who are you talking about there? Gideon. These guys fought against Gideon and his armies. And remember Gideon, when he was called to fight the Midianites had for 7 years possessed Israel, dominated them, just kept them down. And for 7 years, and then God raised up Gideon. And how many men did fight that initial battle? Only 300 men against all of those Midianites. It looked like locusts. How many Midianites were there against 300 men? How about 120,000? How about 400-1 odds, Brother Bob? Sounds worse than the Alamo. And the Alamo, they were defeated, weren't they? But not Gideon. He won. And if you look at right now how many Arabs are in these countries that we talked about, that if they give up their covenant with Israel and now they attack to help the quote-unquote Palestinians, you're looking at 180 million Arabs, Islamist Arabs, against about 8 million Jews in Israel. That's kind of amazing. But who's going to win? And just like Gideon, after they won, the Midianites never did that again. Just like Deborah and Barak and Jael, when they won, the Canaanites never did that again. And so if this Psalm 83 coming from this Gaza attack is the one in Psalm 83, then these Arab nations will never do it again. Did you hear me? This will end it. There'll be no 1948, 1967, 1973. If this is it in 2023, it is done, fini, over. And my next message, I'm going to talk about some more of this and how this sets up for the future and for the coming of the Lord. And you are living an eventful day. So you say, what should I do? Purify your life. Get rid of any junk in your life. Because Christ is coming. You're getting closer. Get close because it's close. And number two, witness for Christ. Win people. It's the best thing you can do. Because if somebody's not saved, this is no time to come into the end times and not be saved. Amen. Jew and Gentile, get them saved. Like we're doing with Lisa and others. So get close, get pure, get people saved. And pray more. Like Ryan said tonight, pray more. For grace, amen. Because we're going to need it. Because, and then number four, be prophetically informed.
Don't be pathetically ignorant. Be prophetically informed. Hey, if I am prophetically informed, I am not going to be living in Damascus right now. I'm not getting real estate in Damascus. Amen. If I'm prophetically, I'm not going to be living in Amman, Jordan. I'm not going to be living in central and western Iran right now. Even if I'm poor, I'm going to start walking. Going to go east because the fallout will blow west. I'm going east. You say, what are you talking about? There's practical implications to prophecy. Amen? So be aware, be informed, be ready. Let's bow for prayer. Tonight we've been talking about prophecy.